Good morning.
Welcome to St.
Mark Lutheran Church. It's so good for us to be here today in the house of the Lord. My name is Chris Flugheft. I am your guest preacher today. I'm a pastor from Tempe, Arizona. Are you alarm clock people? Do you like being woken up by your alarm clock? I didn't bring my wife and children with me today. They stayed back home. But if you asked my wife, she would let you know that I have about 10 alarms that go off every morning after I hit snooze, snooze, snooze. In the readings today, Jesus offers a wake-up call. The encouragement to remain awake and alert and ready for him to return. Not only does Jesus offer this call, though, he shows us the how to do so. Everything you should need to worship today can be found in the worship folder, and all of the hymns are found in the Christian Worship Supplement, which is the blue hymnal. Let us begin our worship this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Let us join in our opening hymn, What Grace Is This?
Thank you.
Please stand. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask.
Except through the merits and mediation of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
The first lesson is written in Haggai chapter 1. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crop. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. The word of the Lord.
We continue with
these three stanzas of our next hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd. The second lesson is written in Revelation chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not spoiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The word of the Lord. We now continue with the next two stanzas. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel according to Luke chapter 12. This will serve as the basis of my sermon this morning. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
The day is day by day. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I introduced myself to a few of you on your way into church this morning, I had told you that I am a pastor in Tempe, Arizona. I've been there for about a year after being assigned there from the seminary. After a year of serving at Emmanuel, my wife and I decided, well, maybe the decision was made for us because our lease wasn't renewed, that it's time to buy a house. So you are probably aware of the difficulties in the housing market these days. So in purchasing a home, we didn't get to choose everything we wanted. We could choose location, we could choose quality, but we couldn't always have both. So shopping around, looking for a house to buy, my wife and I decided that we would actually live in the city of Phoenix itself, have a little bit nicer of a home, but maybe take down the location we wanted. Since I'm not preaching in Phoenix right now, you don't know what the neighborhoods are like. But what I can tell you is that we live in the South Mountain area. It's still quite close to Tempe, only 5 miles from my church. But that area of the city is kind of like patchwork. You will have a nice gated community right next to a fairly rough neighborhood. So my wife and I, we looked at the houses and we looked at the finances that we had, and we decided on a house that we liked. It had a community pool. It had a couple community parks. It was an overall nice neighborhood. So we decided that's the home we would attempt to purchase, and thankfully, we got it. The only downside is one of the roughest neighborhoods in all of Phoenix is only separated from our community by Southern Avenue. So, as a pastor, I will do a fair amount of traveling where my wife and 3 daughters are home without me. And we wanted to be in a position where we would feel comfortable for them to stay at home when I'm gone. We decided we needed to be ready, not afraid. So for the price of $24.99 per month, we installed and paid for a security system. With this security system, I can be a little bit more at ease when I go to things like the youth rally, when I go preach at other congregations out of state, or have conferences that take me overnight to a different location. I can feel more comfortable that my wife and 3 daughters are safe because we have that extra layer of protection. We have the alarm system. We decided that we would be ready, not afraid. In a much greater way, this is what Jesus calls Christians to do in the gospel. He calls Christians to be ready, not afraid. Ready for something far worse than a person breaking into, or far greater than a person breaking into a home. Be ready for his return in judgment. Jesus calls Christians to be ready, not afraid. The gospel that we focus on today is in a long string of teachings that Luke records of Jesus. Luke records these all together in a line. And there's this overall thought in what Jesus teaches here that Christians are not afraid. They don't have to worry because of who Jesus is and what he's done for them, the confidence that they have in Christ. So Jesus calls Christians Be ready, not afraid. So as I look at this message today, I want to jump down first to the second half of the lesson as Jesus gives that exhortation, that instruction to be ready. What Jesus says to the people in the crowd is be ready, be dressed for service with your lamps lit. When Jesus says this, it is much like if we would say today, put your shoes on and grab your keys. Get ready to go. It's going to come at any moment. What's going to come at any moment? He ends this lesson by saying, his return could come at any moment. They won't know. So that he's calling them to be ready for the end. And Jesus illustrates this by giving two stories. The first, Jesus talks about servants at a home. So the servants at the home, they're to be ready for their master to return to the house. At any time, it could be in the middle of the night, they are to be ready for him to return. They don't know when. They will just stay there and be ready for their master to return. But when he returns, something very surprising happens. Those servants who are ready for their master to return would be tremendously blessed, because that master would dress for service and serve them. The servants would recline at the table, and he would serve them. Those servants who would be ready for their master to return would be tremendously blessed, as those who are ready for Christ to return are tremendously blessed. Christians, be ready, not afraid. The second story that Jesus tells at the end of this lesson is about a master who returns to his home. So this man owns the house, and what Jesus says is if he would have known when the thief would come, then he wouldn't have let his house get broken into. It makes a lot of sense. If he would have known that a robber was coming to take his stuff and to ruin his home, he would have had everything in place ready to go. With this story, Jesus instructs us about the unexpectedness of the end. No one knows when a thief will come. So they need to be ready at all times. And that's what Jesus compares his return to. Like a thief coming in the night. Christians, be ready, not afraid. Are you familiar with the mayhem commercials from Progressive Insurance? So I think it's actually quite a creative advertising line. So mayhem personified is ready to cause damage and destruction in the lives of these people. Whether it is a distracted teenage driver, the temptation to eat some fries while driving, or any other sorts of mayhem that might come someone's way, Progressive Insurance wants people to be ready. And what's their solution? Buy a home and auto policy from their company. I think it's actually a pretty good advertising campaign, although I have Geico, not Progressive. They're calling people to be ready. They're showing them the danger of not being ready and saying, here we have the solution. Buy a home or auto policy from us. Mayhem is around the corner in this world and in life. But something far more important is coming around the corner. And that's either that when we die or when Jesus returns in judgment. So far more important than being ready for mayhem to strike with a potential ruined car or destruction in the home, Jesus calls us to be ready for that time. Because those who are ready will see bliss beyond compare. And those who are not will see mayhem that progressive cannot even imagine. Jesus calls us to be ready, not afraid. So, saints of St. Mark, are you ready? Are you ready for when Jesus comes like a thief in the night? Are you ready for when God calls you and taking your life? My guess is your answer would be, yes, we are ready. Why else would you be here on a Sunday morning? But let's think about that for a moment. From where does your readiness come? What makes you ready? As you look forward to one day when God takes you from this life, what gives you confidence and comfort? For many, it might be having all of your ducks in a row. I've got my will drafted. I've got my million-dollar insurance policy. I have the savings bank full. My family will be set for when God takes me from this life. Yeah, I'm ready. Although being ready in that way is good, it's not good enough to make us ready for eternity. Some will want to find their readiness in their comfort from who they are or what they have done. I've lived a pretty good life. I'm ready. Except God doesn't demand good enough. So from where does your readiness come? Perhaps you know the location and the proper location. But your life isn't in line with your readiness. The things we do not make us ready, but we want to live lives that are in line with readiness. Right? Those who are ready live out their readiness through a lack of fear and through trust in God in all circumstances. Is it possible that your actions do not communicate to others that you are ready? A life wrapped up in sin. A heart consumed in fear. Those things are not in line with the readiness that comes from our God. So examine ourselves. Are you ready? If we see that we have failed to be ready or failed to find the proper source of readiness or express that readiness in our lives, well, that is sin. It is good and proper to confess our sins to the Lord and to look to the one who gives us readiness. Because Jesus was ready to take the cross for you. The Father sent His Son to live and die for you. Jesus washed all your sins away, and He gave you His perfection. And that is what makes you ready. You are clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus our Lord. You are ready in Jesus. So you do not have to fear. So let us continue to come to God's house where he gives us his means of grace which strengthen us every day and hold us, and he holds us and makes us continue to be ready for that time to come. As he gives us his powerful word, as he gives us the sacrament, the food of immortality. Because we are ready, not afraid. You don't have to fear anything that comes in this life or after this life because you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. The beginning of this lesson starts with a passage that you likely know very well because of that wonderful hymn based upon it. Do not fear, little flock, for the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. What comfort comes from that verse. I sing that hymn often with my daughters. It comforts me so. I am Jesus' little flock, part of it. I do not have to fear whatever comes in this life, and neither do you. Because Jesus has made us ready to stand before God in judgment, standing in our robes of righteousness. Following that, Jesus instructs the people to live in that readiness. And he points specifically to how they deal with finances. Give to the poor. Sell what you have. Because your treasure isn't in these earthly things. Your treasure is in heaven. So they don't have to fear financial burden, financial issues that come, any problems, because they are made ready in Christ Jesus. John Wesley once said, "The last thing to be converted in a man is his wallet." I don't know how fair that statement is, but I get what John Wesley's getting at. He's getting at that one's checkbook or wallet can often demonstrate priorities or hidden fears that you can't see elsewhere. And those are things that Jesus connects together. Fear and finances. A lack of fear, which leads to generosity. As a pastor, talking about money is probably one of the most difficult things. Because, well, first of all, you don't talk about money in polite company. And as a pastor, I'm always in polite company. But also, the generosity of members is what pays a pastor's salary. It's hard to talk about finances in the church. But Jesus talks about them so often. Because it's such a big part of our lives. And what Jesus talks about is how does one's use of money demonstrate what's in the heart? So that's something we can examine for ourselves. Now, I'm not telling you get rid of your life insurance policy, empty your savings account. You can trust in God, don't care about those things. It's good to have things in order here in this life, but how does your handling of money show what's in your heart? Does a fear of financial catastrophe looming around the corner demonstrate a lack of trust in God? does an obsession about saving up money in your bank account. Demonstrate fear in your heart. If these fears are in your heart as they are in mine, that is sin. And it is proper for us to look to the God who gives us forgiveness, who gives us readiness, who gives us confidence. Look to Jesus. Jesus, who gave his life for you. Jesus, who was not greedy, but very generous in giving it all for you. Who on the cross of Calvary shed his blood to wash away all of your sins. Even those fears and that lack of trust in him. Yes, let us look to Jesus. The one who has made us ready for eternity. The reason we do not have to fear. Yes, we do not have to fear what mayhem may come in this life. We do not have to fear what financial troubles could come. We don't have to fear any of these things. Because we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, don't get rid of your bank account. Don't get rid of that life insurance policy. I don't have to pull out the security system from my home. But we can have confidence in Christ Jesus. Christians, be ready, not afraid. You are ready because you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus and all of your sins are forgiven. So when you stand before God in judgment, you can stand confidently that he will welcome you into your eternal dwellings with him. Amen. Please stand as we join in the common confession of the true Christian faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, our maker and preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth, where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever ways is pleasing to you in your sight.
We also pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let's now continue with our next hymn, Where Your Treasure Is.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Our closing hymn is "I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light." Good morning again.
Good morning.
Thank you all for welcoming me to join you today at St. Mark's Lutheran Church. What a beautiful church you have, and what a wonderful opportunity to share God's word. At 9:30, we have adult Bible study as well as the other opportunities to connect to God's word. I look forward to seeing you there. God be with you this week and always.